DufferBet, proud sponsors of the Welsh Premier League. Welcome to DufferBet, WPL Radio.
Well, it's a license to kill and a license to thrill as ever here on the DufferBet Welsh Premier League podcast. But with two games to go, there's going to be some killing going on, I'm afraid, in the next few days, isn't there? One of the teams probably going to drop down, although it could go to the last weekend. It's a thriller all the way. And while we're talking about licenses, well, we've got Steve Jones joining us from the licensing committee of the FAW to talk about why the panel decides what they do and also why we have licenses full stop, I suppose. That's going to be interesting. But first, as ever, Jonah's back with me after he left me for another woman the other week. Jonah, I'm sure you're delighted to have me back, mate, yeah?
Yeah, welcome back, Mark. Welcome back. And may I say, well done, Nikki.
Are you? She got a four-year deal already?
She's definitely got a face for television, not podcasts.
Anyway, look, I just said we've got a cracker of a weekend ahead. I suppose we'll start off with the game that has been set up perhaps to be the game that decides the second team that goes down, or perhaps drags another load of teams in to create a wonderful weekend next weekend. It's Good Friday, and it's Rhyl against Aberystwyth.
A fortnight ago, this was definitely going to be the final countdown or the final showdown between a relegation battle. But I just think now there's another couple of teams who've just suddenly been sucked into it. There's no doubt about it. But Aberystwyth Friday night is one. It's going to be one hell of a game. One of the biggest games. Well, it is one of the biggest games for Aberystwyth in their history in the Welsh Premier League. There's no doubt about it. I was talking to a few of their committee at the game on Sunday at Llandudno, and they actually said this is these next couple of games are the biggest in our history. The same could be said for Young Niall and for Rhyl. And I just think to myself then, before we started this podcast, there's some football games you can look forward to as a player, you know, cup finals, semi-finals, playoffs, where you have a chance to, you know, to really prove yourself to be, well, this one is, it's got a do or die, 90 minutes. It almost is, as we know. Who wins stays up, who loses could be relegated. It's not great to look forward to, but you've simply got to go and give 120% for your shirt and hope to keep your league in the DufferBet Welsh Premier, your team in the DufferBet Welsh Premier League. It is a massive game for everybody involved.
Well, the man that's helped Rhyl cling on to hope here is Steve Lewis. He scored in last weekend's game. Let's hear from him here.
It's a great result. We didn't play our best, as I say, but the win is all that matters. You know, it means nothing today unless we go there and we need to play a lot better. We need to go and get the points there again. It's a massive game now, I'm sure. A lot of people will be watching.
Look, Jonah, here's the simple maths, isn't it? If Rhyl draw, it's good enough for them to take it into a real sort of Super Saturday the weekend after. If they win, oh my word, it drags quite a few other teams into the mix, doesn't it?
You know, a lot of managers, Alan Morgan, Hugh Griffiths, you know, they'll be looking over their shoulders. I thought they've had a wonderful season, the Kevin Druid, especially Huey, where they were people's choice at the beginning of the season to be one of the bottom two, and they've done really well. They're undefeated, I think, for five games, but unfortunately for them, it's been five draws. But over the 22 first of all, and then 10 after that, and so there's 32 games. Experienced football people will tell you the first game doesn't count, the 15th game doesn't count, the 24th game doesn't count. It all boils down to that 32nd game and what sort of points tally you got. And that's why leagues are always the hardest thing to win. You can win the cup on a strength of a few games. Your form has to be over the season if you're going to stay in this league or win it.
Now, I've distracted from the conversation from Aberystwyth, but we need to have it. First off, we need to say get well soon to the new manager, Tony Pennock, because Wayne Jones jumped on him like a bull when that goal went in. And I'm sure Pennock's not going to be around. He's probably still in Bronglois Hospital with a bad back, to be quite frank, if Wayne Jones is jumping on him. But hey, look, Wayne Jones jumping on anybody is a sign that means a lot.
Hey, I tell you what as well, and Wolves, if you're listening, right, you always had a you're in the Julian Dix mould, okay? Right? You're right. You always had a bit of timber on you, even though you had a class left peg, son. And I reckon you haven't done Penzi's back any good there.
But I tell you, it shows what it means to Wayne. It shows what it means to Aberystwyth. And I think everybody in that team has never been so clear that they are in trouble at the moment.
Well, I think they produced on Sunday. They were asked, obviously, by Tony to do a job and Wolvesy. And it looks like they galvanised. And they played it wasn't a great game. It wasn't Scotty's greatest ever game last weekend. But there was a lot of tension about it. But ABBA produced the goods on the day. They had to go to land. No, the chips were down. The chips were really down for ABBA. And they've gone and produced. The form book for me said Landidno would only have to win to challenge for seventh spot and a place for Europe. And ABBA have gone and, turned the coin around and had a good 2-0 win. Nice performance in midfield from a new youngster. I think Malcolm Melvin, he went and got a goal as well. A little bit of a... You'll pick up on this, Mark. I think he's the Welsh Premier's new Joe Allen lookalike.
Okay, fair enough. He's got the hair. Excellent. We like a bit of style in the Welsh Premier League. But interestingly, over this season, many people have talked about, Leicester getting rid of Ranieri too harshly, various banger managers going too harshly. And here we are, a change of management at Aberystwyth. He's got his first win, and the next game's probably just as crucial. And it could be the deciding factor, couldn't it? Tony Pennock, just as simple as that.
It's getting a regular thing in football now. We spoke about it for the last few weeks on a podcast, and they're speaking about it in the English Premier League all the time. These managerial changes are sometimes bewildering and, to the point, daft sometimes, but football is what it is. It never surprises anybody anymore, and they've brought Pens in, and he's in a situation where if he can keep them up over the last three games where it looked like they were going to go down, may have the chance of the job full time.
I mentioned on Twitter last weekend, I think... Rill are now the Houdini of the WPL. They got out of trouble last season, and you still feel that they might pull a rabbit out of the hat in the next two games and stay up and cross that line.
Well, I tell you what, last week they looked like they were going down as Airbus were 1-0 ahead through a Steve Thomason goal after 47 minutes. But big Chrissy Rimmer, I like Chris Rimmer, the giant centre-back, I think he's a... biggest player in the league, by the way, and then he gets a 77th minute equaliser, and the Beast goes and gets a winner in the 87th minute. He's a bit of a character, the Beast. We all, we like him. He's been around the league. He's a character, and that's what football needs. But he secured a 2-1 victory, and I'm sure they will be looking forward to this game. Real, like I said, on their day they can beat anybody, and they've proved that all season. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. A fantastic game. Myself, I'll be going to. Carmarthen and Cardiff met on Friday afternoon, and I don't know whether I can twist her arm mind to come all the way to Aberystwyth after that on good bank holiday Friday.
You can always just get in the car and say you lost.
Yeah, I think I'll have to do that.
I turned left. One thing that seems common in this discussion we're having here now, right? Tony Pennock, experience. Steve Lewis, experience. Who's dug both teams out of a hole? Experienced people. That's the evidence you need to still keep a bit of experience in your team, doesn't it?
I think everybody, all good teams need a, especially down the spine, it's usually the goalkeeper and it's usually the centre-half, maybe a midfielder and a striker, but you do need experience. That's why I think the likes of Conte of Chelsea have kept on the likes of John Terry. A good experienced head in the changing room, if they had a good club man as well, especially, they do add a lot to the changing room. Sometimes... not everybody, and let's be honest, not everybody agrees 100% with the manager or the coach, and sometimes an experienced player can add that little 5 or 10%, to help out with the players, and it is experience proves vital at times. But if Rill were to overturn ABBA on Friday evening and stay in the Welsh Premier League, we can chuck the experience one out the window and say bring the youngsters in, because young Niall's the youngest manager of the league, and he would have kept Rill up in a real tough season. So football, when you're a manager, Mark, it's great one day, it's hard the other day. But overall, I go back to saying, right, whether it's the chairman, whether it's the manager, whether it's the players, they've all had 32 games to prove themselves. So, yeah, it's great that it comes down to a final one-day game. But it's since last August when it counted, the first game last August to the last game is over the 32 games. That's why you get promoted or relegated.
Well, one team we definitely know won't be with us next season is Airbus, of course. Played against Real the other weekend and lost that game. As a result, went down. Here's the thoughts of Andy Thomas after that game against Real.
It's one of them things that you've just got to rebuild now. There's quite a few of our players already contract for next year, so we'll sit down in the next few weeks and then we'll rebuild a new squad and go again. If you look at pre-season, we lost our 15 players who got us to Europe. So you take our whole back four, a lot of players, 15 players out, and no pre-season with youngsters, and no disrespect to youngsters, but you can bed one youngster in or two youngsters. But a lot, and then we lost our captain Paul Connolly, who was a massive player for us. We lost him, so we were playing with 17, 18 year olds at the back, young keeper. It just proves you can't do it with youngsters. You need experienced players, and then bed in the youngsters one at a time or two at a time, because it's a man's league at the end of the day, and you need men.
And here we are, arguably two dead rubbers for Airbus. And I don't want to dwell too much on the story of Airbus this season, Jonah, because we will do a post-mortem on that. And I'm sure many other people are doing a post-mortem at the moment on what's happened to Airbus in the past few months. But in the next two games, ironically, although they're playing for pride and they will obviously be playing for their places in the Cymru Alliance next season, they also do have a crucial role to play in all of this, don't they?
Oh, definitely. I think they'll play. They'll play every team. Sometimes they say it's better when you're gone. You release yourself from the pressures, knowing that you are gone, and you open up and play a bit better. You know, but I think they'll do a service to the league and they'll perform. They got good players. They got good ex-professionals playing. They'll be gutted to know they went down, and they'd like to finish the season. Some of them at that club, mine with the 2-year contracts. I think Tony Gray is one. I don't know how many more of them are there. They might have had a big meeting and say, right, we know we're down, but our season starts, you know, tonight. Looking forward to next season, and you're playing for places. So I think they'll do us the league a good service. I hope Andy Thomas keeps a job. By the way, he's a youngster who've had a tough start. I hope he's given a chance to prove himself next year. And they got a big tough job on Friday because they're trying to stop a Newtown 10-game unbeaten run.
Yeah, now that's interesting. Newtown have become interesting for me in the past couple of weeks because obviously they've crossed that line now where they know they're safe. Where, you know, me, you and Nicky John past few weeks have been talking about them as being possible dark horses in the Europa League run. And yeah, and I just wonder whether Newtown will step off the gas now or whether they really want to make people aware that they're around for the Europa League. Because at the end of the day, they're in now, aren't they? I think it's pretty unlikely Llandudno will catch them.
I have to agree with you, Mark, because I think it is, yeah, it's almost virtually impossible. They're 19 goals behind them, 5 points behind them, so they're not going to go, you know, they're not going to do that. But like you say, you have to do a service to the league. I think the league, denotes rules that you have to most probably play so many of your first team squad, and that's the service you give to the league. But I'm sure if I was Chris Hughes, if Oswell had a little bit of an ankle tweak, if the centre back, Shane Sutton, had a little bit of a, you know, a hamstring or something like that, this is his chance to prime, you know, say to them, have the afternoon off or come off with an hour, with half an hour left. I have to agree with you. Newtown have worked hard enough to get in the box seat of the seventh playoff, and I think they can enjoy the next two games with hoping, they're footballers, they're hoping they're going to win. Nobody goes to the field hoping to lose, right? Especially the Robins with the run they're on, but I think they've earned a little bit of respite before their playoffs.
And then we talk about Llandudno. You know, at the end of the day, Jonah, we will obviously, me and you, do a mop-up podcast about how individual teams have performed at the end of the league. But if there was a title for disappointing performance of the season, I think Airbus would win it, because we never expected Airbus to be where they were. Especially the bookies, of course, said they were 50-1 to go down at the start of the season. But the second place, now some people might say, well, it's obviously going to be Real or Aberystwyth if they go down. I don't know. I actually think Llandudno, the second most disappointing team for me in the league this season, because there they were in Europe last season, top six, absolutely astounded everybody. They've done a complete Leicester. They found themselves in the bottom half of the table. But actually, if results don't go their way next week, this coming week, they could find themselves relegated the week after.
That's why I was a little bit surprised at their performance last Sunday. The urgency towards the end of the game, I thought, could have just been a little bit more fierce, as they need a point. Okay, they definitely need a point to stay in the league. They're not going to have no great nights of sleep this week. They're still thinking about that in the back of your mind. I think they'll stay up. They should get a point. They're going to Kevin Druids, by the way, who also need a point. So to Kevin Druids and Llandudno now is just as important. I know we've overhyped the Aberdeen Real game because they could be the two going down. But on paper, the two teams above them could also go down. So this game is just important. And if Real can perform and get two victories, which I know young Niall thinks he can, they could overtake Llandudno. So it's a dogfight, mate. Absolute dogfight.
It is. And there's no point in pretending that we'd be able to call it. But I tell you what, if Real win or Real even get a draw on Good Friday at 7:45, my word, we are in for a very interesting end to the season the week after. A rundown of the bottom six fixtures that you can see this Good Friday then. At 2:30, Airbus playing for Pride against Newtown at Airbus. Then it's 7:45 kickoff, Aberystwyth against Real at Aberystwyth Town, of course. And then we've got Kevin Druids against Llandudno, which is a 2:30 kickoff on Good Friday at Kevin Druids.
For the first time this season, I'm going to change the rules. There's only 2 weeks to go. I want to know your scores on these three games. On you go, son. Aber Real.
I think it will be, it'll either be a draw 1-1 or it'll be 2-1 to Real. I absolutely fancy Real for it. I don't care if it's at home. Real will bring a huge crowd. It'll be a huge crowd, whatever. I still fancy Real for it. I think Airbus, I think they'll actually, that'll be a draw or possibly a Newtown win 2-1. And then what we got, Druids Llandudno now.
Big game.
2-1 to Druids.
2-1 to Druids.
2-1 to Druids. And I'm going very loose on the scores here. I'd rather be a man that says somebody's going to win or somebody's going to draw. But I don't see either one of those really being a runaway. I don't even see Airbus Newtown being a runaway, to be honest with you. I'm very clear where I think the final result's going to be. I think Real are going to win. I think Druids are going to win. And I think we're probably looking at a draw. Or, you know, if one was ever going to be a runaway win, it was Newtown are going to go on a free scorer at last end of the season and it'd be like 7-0, but I don't see that coming.
Okay, mate, well, if you're right, we better change Super Saturday to absolutely super, super, super Saturday, right? So get ready for it.
Even if I'm right on 50% of that, there's still equations to be worked out and there's still things to fight for. And you know, like I say, in the mop-up we'll do at the end of the season, crikey, you'll ask yourself some questions about how some of the clubs there who we had real potential hopes for at the start of the season have not performed. Anyway, to drop you in it now, the Aberystwyth Real game is the absolutely bouncer of a game. You should get down there if you can. But you're going to start some crazy rumour now that although it's not on S4C Live, it's on Facebook.
I'm sure they're hoping to stream it somewhere along the line.
Okay, you hear it here first. Jonah says it's going to be available on Facebook if you can't get there. If that's wrong, write to Mark Jonah Jones, Football Association of Wales, Vanguard Way, Cardiff.
I'm used to P45s in this league, don't worry.
Hey, look, we've had some interesting time talking about the bottom six. The top six is yet to be spoken about, but how do we all get here? How do we all get the right to play in this wonderful league? Well, we get a licence, apparently. So let's talk about the licensing process as well, because that came up while I was away last week. And of course, Prestatyn got their license, so that confirmation of promotion is absolutely there. Llongyfarchiadau Prestatyn, well done to Prestatyn. And Barry Tanner are currently top of the Welsh Football League, could be caught technically, but a top of the Welsh Football League also have the license to Thrill next season, so that could be very interesting if they remain at the top. A man who's going to explain the meaning of life, the universe and everything is Stephen Jones, who sits on the panel of the FAW licensing committee. Have I got that right, Stephen? I probably haven't, have I?
No, hi Mark, first of all, thanks very much for having me on. No, I'm the licensing manager at the FAW. There's a separate independent panel which make the decisions on each club.
So you basically have to do the paperwork that they decide?
Basically managing the process, dealing with each of the licence applicants and putting together the strongest application possible from each club for the decision-making bodies then.
Okay, look, Stephen, every time licensing comes up, you know this more than anybody, because everybody goes, what was that decision about? Why did that happen? Why did this happen? How did they get a license and they didn't get a license? So We're going to try and explain it all, and I have been told by you, obviously, in fair play, you're not going to give me pounds, shillings and pence of basic bottom lines of clubs, and I don't want that minute detail, but I think there are a couple of questions that are out in the air which I think are quite general enough for you to answer. I mean, first off, why do we need licensing? Why was it brought... You know, what does licensing do that not having a license does?
Yeah, well, basically, club licensing, it's all about club development. It's about improving every aspect of a modern-day football club, from your youth development system, your stadium facilities, your finances, your governance, etc. And this is done through a set of criteria, which is put together in our domestic licensing regulations. The process... It's not unique to Wales or the Welsh Premier League. I think it's now up to 53 of UEFA's 55 member associations also run a domestic licensing process, which runs parallel to the UEFA licensing process.
What do you need in the UEFA license that you guys aren't asking for, or vice versa?
Yeah, well, sorry to put you in the picture, just to give you a little bit of background, UEFA actually introduced their licensing regulations, I think it was around 2004-2005, for clubs needed to adhere to play in their competitions, you know, the Champions League, the Europa League qualifiers, etc. So the FAW at the time, we obviously didn't want our clubs to miss out on European football. So in order to bridge the gap from where we were as a league at the time to what UEFA needed us to be, we introduced our own set of domestic regulations. And those domestic regulations have developed over time. And today, they're pretty much identical to the UEFA regs, bar maybe two or three criteria.
You mentioned the five overarching criteria there: youth development, finance, personnel. When you look at it all in the round... not everybody's going to have exactly the same perfect marks as each other. There are going to be some clubs that are strong in certain areas and not on certain areas. Is there one of those five criteria that you're willing to sacrifice more? Say, for example, are you more concerned about the financial development of a club than the youth development?
I think really every criteria is there for a reason. There's no criteria there just for the sake of being there. And I think what we look at as a licensing administration and as the decision-making bodies look at, it's on a club-by-club basis. Like you alluded to, every club has its own strengths. Every club has its own weaknesses. You know, some clubs, you mentioned finance, some clubs have a single investor or a small group of investors. Other clubs rely heavily on matchday income and sponsorship. Some clubs own a 3G facility, some don't, etc. So pretty much every club in the Welsh Premier League is different. And that's the way we look at it, really, on a club-by-club basis.
Let's be clear, this is not a fit and proper person's test, is it? Like you got in the English Football League, they talk about the fit and proper person's test when a new owner comes in and whether they would pass that or not. You know, there's an element of this doesn't look at the individuals of a club and look at whether they are fit and proper. It looks at whether they, you know, the balance sheets balance out, I suppose, does it?
Yeah, I mean, not be fit and proper in the sense that you're thinking about, but in terms of one of the areas in the regulations, it's personnel. Within that, there are 19 different criteria to fulfill. 13 of those are actually positions at the club, you know, from a first team manager to a media officer to a finance officer, etc. So all of those roles have to be fulfilled with an individual with the required, you know, background and experience, qualifications, etc.
Now, this may be a confusion about how this was displayed on the FAW website, but what I saw was that Bangor had been awarded a WPL licence on condition they got an A coach within 60 days, but they seem to automatically have got the UEFA licence. So what's being demanded by UEFA that's not being demanded by the Welsh Premier League?
I mean, I don't really want to speak about Bangor, just any other clubs specifically, but generally speaking, the qualification... for a Welsh Premier League, for the Welsh Premier League criteria, your manager must have at least started an A licence course. For the UEFA criteria, your first team manager must have at least started the pro licence course, and of course that applies to all clubs across the league.
Okay, that's fine. So you don't want to talk about Bangor individually, so I'm going to hit you with three other clubs now and you're going to tell me to get lost. Newtown. Is Chris Hughes the guy who's missing the sufficient level of coaching?
We can't go into too much detail on who the individuals are. As per the press release, they have a coaching position to fill within 60 days. And again, the same criteria applies, you know, whether it's the first team manager, the assistant manager, the head of youth, etc.
Okay, if they don't fill that within 60 days and they win the playoffs, they won't be able to take a place in Europe, will they?
Yeah, I mean, if that's not fulfilled, you know, like any other club that has a conditional license or that doesn't fulfil all the criteria, they can't be awarded a UEFA license, which means, you know, like you correctly said, they won't be able to participate in Europe.
Haverford West, why were they refused? Was it a licensing thing? Was it a coach thing? Was it a money thing? What was it?
One of the you know, the circumstances at the club, a specific circumstance changed between the end of last season and the start of this season, which meant that unfortunately they couldn't fulfil one of the criteria, hence the licence was withdrawn.
Okay, and talking about withdrawn, there were a couple of other applicants, were there, from the Welsh Football League? I noticed like people like Penabont and Goitre went for it and then they withdrew from it. Let's talk about how much that's cost them and the process there. You know, how soon do you have to start that process? Because obviously I'm looking at Penabont and Goitre now, who have withdrawn from the process, who could technically still overtake Barry in the Welsh Football League, but they won't be able to go up. And I just wonder whether the clubs are being asked for info too early, or whether there's a stage process where they can give up a bit later or do something retrospectively if they know they're in the hunt for the title.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Goitre. They weren't part of the process. They weren't one of the initial 23 applicants. But generally speaking, I mean, everyone knows, you know, they associate the licence with promotion and promotion and relegation. But it's not all about promotion and relegation. Like I said at the start of the conversation, it's more about club development. And I'd encourage all Tier 2 clubs to at least, you know, look into the process, look at applying for the domestic licence, you know, get me out to visit the club and to do a stadium audit and a club audit, etc. And go as far in the process as you can, because, you know, you can use that, you know, use licensing as a catalyst to get things right off the pitch in order to get them right later on the pitch. And I think I'll share a good example of this with you. I'm sure they won't mind me singling them out because it's a positive example, and that's Llandudno Football Club, who for a number of years were middle to bottom half of the Hughes Grey Alliance League, consistently applied and consistently got the licence for a number of years. And I'm sure there were a number of clubs around them thinking, you know, why are they bothering with all that? You know, they're nowhere near, they're not in the promotion hunt. But they used licensing as a catalyst to get it right off the pitch, you know, before getting it right on the pitch. And we all know what happened there. They went from a Tier 2 club to play in the Europa League within a couple of years, so that's just one good example, really.
But in terms of the cost, you know, is the cost an upfront cost? You know, I'm going for this licence, so I have to pay X, or I have to spend X pounds of my money straight away. And is that perhaps something that's stopping a Goitre? Again, I know you won't be able to comment on this, but what I'm trying to get at is the process seems to be very upfront ahead of where we really don't know sometimes where these clubs are, and there's you're asking for clubs to develop stuff and to get into a league that they may not get in, and they may not have the money to do that at that stage.
The maximum, say for example, if you're a Tier 2 club new to the process, the maximum you'd be needing to spend is £350, and that's the application fee. You can go through the process and stop the process at any time you like. So a few clubs this season, for example, I visited the club in November, December, like I usually do. I'll do a ground inspection, do a full club audit, meet with the licensing officer, the chairman, the finance officer, and draw up an action plan for them. And they can see exactly how far away they are from the domestic license without spending, you know, a penny in addition to the initial £350. If they did go through the process all the way to the decision-making body, the expensive things like audited accounts, player medicals, things like that, the FAW subsidises that quite heavily, usually between 70% and 100%. Things like infrastructure, something we brought in a couple of years ago, there's actually up to £50,000 available for each of the promoted clubs at the end of the season for infrastructure developments. For example, last year, you know, we had gantry, press box at a couple of the clubs and things like that. So a lot of it is heavily subsidised by the FAW, and that comes, a lot of that comes from UEFA, an annual fee from UEFA to help run our domestic licensing system.
Okay, well, it's not the £90 million golden goal game for the Premier League, or the golden hello, is it, for the English Premier League, but 50k is no mean mug's money. Stephen, you've been as honest as I know you can be. I'm going to ask you one more question. Prestatyn got the, and I know you're not going to answer it, Prestatyn got the licence, and they were 3 or 4 months ago on the verge of being wound up under HMRC order. Everybody worked their backside off there to get that changed and to get the money in to put them back on a sound footing. No question that the club can do it, but if somebody has been put under a HMRC order, does that affect what ranking they have in the licensing?
Well, really, the financial criteria, you know, like you said, we have to, the clubs have to produce annual audited accounts, which are verified by an independent auditor. They have to prove to us that there are no overdue payables due to other clubs, players or ex-players, social tax authorities. And they also have to produce very thorough future financial information. And that is often key, you know, when the first instance body, if they're looking at a set of accounts and it perhaps isn't as good as it should be, generally speaking, often they'll look at the future financial information as a guide as to whether the club can be awarded a licence for the next 12 months.
Okay. Brilliant. Stephen, honestly, you've been as open as I know you can be. And actually, a conversation like this, when listened to, goes a long way to help fans understand the sort of magic hocus pocus that they think the licensing system is. And there is actually some, you know, thought behind it. Stephen, bless you for your time. Thank you for coming on the podcast. Right, let's get on with it, Jonah. Let's talk quickly through the top six, shall we? And I'm going to say one word to you. Carmarthen. And I'm going to say Carmarthen because I am increasingly believing that at the end of this season, Carmarthen's name is going to be in some sort of Europa League draw.
Yes, they're playing well. They're producing results every week, and they're improving as a young squad. They were one of the youngest squads in the league at the start of the season, and obviously they still are. But he's moulding a good team down there at the moment, and they look capable of playing up against any team in the league. Their home game this Friday against Cardiff Met University is vital, because if they get a point from it, obviously they'll have the home draw in the UEFA playoffs. And I'm just tending Carmarthen and Newtown could be, you know, they're not wild cards because they've earned their way there, but they're two form teams, and I'm sure the likes of Bangor City and whoever else are going to be in the playoffs alongside will know that if they play Carmarthen or Newtown, there'll be tough games in the playoffs.
Well, currently we can see, I think, that it's going to be Bangor, Carmarthen, Cardiff Met and Newtown in those playoffs. Home advantage would then fall to Bangor and Carmarthen on the first legs. And Carmarthen will play the Met again. And Ace, as always, he's driven himself into this position, hasn't he? He's manoeuvred himself in it. When it became clear, perhaps, that they couldn't get top three, it was his sole focus to be a home playoff.
Yeah, he's worked for it. He's worked hard for it. I mean, like I say, he's been there before. That's why we talked about experience in the first half of the podcast when we were talking about, you know, relegation. But experience at this stage, again, is vital. Some people, once you've been through a few things and you've been through a couple of these playoffs, obviously you won't make no knee-jerk decisions or any rash decisions that could cost you. So I'm sure he won't worry about setting out for a point this weekend at home. Everybody will be thinking, oh, Carmarthen at home, they had a great result that last week against Ballard, they're going to collect up 3 points here. They've been under block down Carmarthen, and a point will be just as good as three for them this Saturday at home against Cardiff Met, as long as it gives them the home draw.
And Bangor, look, when we do the end of season review on Bangor, we could write the whole series of novels, really, couldn't we, on what's gone on there. And my worry about where Bangor are in this playoff scenario is that I don't think Newtown are mugs, and they will step up their game. And I actually think they, you know, when it comes to the Bangor-Newtown game, it will be a trickier tie for Bangor than it would be for Carmarthen.
Oh, they'll expect that. The people at Bangor will expect it to be a tricky tie anyway, because if they do end up playing Newtown, which it looks like, they're going to play a team who might come into the playoff with a 12 game and beat and run if they do well the next 2 weeks. But what I do have to say, Mac, from a ex-manager's point of view, is whatever is going on at Bangor, you know, with their decisions in their managerial merry-go-round so far this season, I think you have to take your hat off to a group of players. Four or five or six of them have been there since the start of the season, right? And they've had a lot of change at the club, but they've come fourth. Am I right saying fourth? Yeah, they'll end up finishing fourth, right? In a very, very tough league. So them players have done really well. Well done. The Citizens players, it's been a merry-go-round. You know, there was Leggy first, then it was Ian Dawes, it's Gary Taylor-Fletcher now, and they were all chucked together at the beginning of the season, but some of them have really stood up well. The likes of young Henry Jones, you know, and the likes have bonded well. And, you know, you even got Lawrence Wilson, the fullback, an old ex-pro, like, you know, scoring goals last week. Rittenberg, another newcomer. They're doing well. They've done well. Conor Robertson's goal has been magnificent by all accounts from all season. He might be one who stands up for, you know, the team of the season award. But as a group of players, in maybe uncertain times sometimes, they've done really well at Bangor, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. They've had to put up with a lot of change there and a lot of different things from day one, really. And it is testament to Bangor they are where they are. Bearing in mind that, of course, people like me, and I'm sure there's probably a few Citizens fans had gone, oh, if we kept it a bit more stable, could we have been third? Could we have been second? But
on that point, right, we're talking about Bangor and saying how well they've done. We may as well, shall we round it off, right, with the podcast tip of the season, right? The Citizens are 12-1 at home to the New Saints, who've already cantered to the league title.
Yeah.
12-1, 5-1 the draw, 2-11 on. We haven't mentioned the odds this afternoon, but surely a few of the Citizens fans will take a bit of 12-1 at home.
Oh, I don't know. We've had the conversation about the New Saints never lying down, however many games they've won, haven't we? Come on, Jonah, sort yourself out.
Right, okay, we'll put that one to bed.
Back in your box, fella, you know nothing about this league. Gap Connors Key, quickly. Andy Morrison not very happy about the refereeing last weekend. I think he might have got himself into a bit of hot water about that. Look, the truth is, I think there's got to be a point where managers do have the right to say that. I don't think there were people in his club who were very happy about him saying it. I would hate to lose a manager like Andy Morrison from this league. And I hope his words towards the end were just heat of the moment thing, where he said, if that's what football's going to be, I'm going to walk. I hope he doesn't.
Yeah, he's been in the game a long time, and he's a determined character. We all know that. He was like it as a player, you know, and he's like it as a manager. It's great to have people with passion in the game, and people, when they're full of passion and they love the game, they're going to say things at the heat of the moment. You know, he might stick by what he said, but I don't think we'll see Andy Morrison walking away from the league. I hope we don't. If we do, the only time we ever see him walking away from the league, I hope, is to go on as a Football League manager. But he's enjoyed his time in this league, and he's one of the managers who speaks very highly of the league as a football, and with the league's footballing ability. So, you know, and if his team do get into Europe, as I said last week, he would have been in European football 5 seasons in a row, 3 as a coach and 2 as a manager. And I'm sure, you know, Andy Morrison has enjoyed his time in the Welsh Premier League.
And he's only one step away, 3 points away from beating Ballytown to that Iron Brew spot, which we never talk about really, but that's still up for grabs, isn't it?
Yeah, perhaps we'll talk about that one next week.
Fair enough. I think it's time to go, is it, Jonah? Bye.
All the best, Mark. Cheers, mate.
Sign up for your Dufferbet account and support the WPL.